and he's a studier, and so I want to present you with this certificate, as well as you mentioned something else to look at. So there's some notes for you for that, okay? And, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Don't go anywhere.
Now, I asked Chris also to share a few comments of what he thought about discipleship one-to-one or what he got out of it or anything along that line. So now you're on.
Okay. All right. Well, I did enjoy it quite a bit. It gave me a chance to study the word a lot better and get a little bit deeper than I would have been able to on my own. So that was good. And I will say that the more you put into it, the more God will give you back. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Way to go, man. And if any of you would have any interest in discipleship one-to-one, it's just it's a basic discipleship course, and it's one-on-one. So you get a mentor and a student get together about once a week and learn some fundamentals of God's Word. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. If you're interested, just let the church office know, and we'll get you hooked up, okay? All right, it is time for Kids Church. Age 3 through grade 4. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Come here often?
Not here.
We have been in a sermon series in 1 Peter, and I just want to review a little bit. At the very beginning, Peter spends a lot of time talking about salvation and how great a deal that is that God has offered us. And since we've received this great deal from God, it should motivate us to change. And so we should think differently, behave differently, and live differently. And then Peter also says that because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are peculiar people. Yep, that's you, peculiar person. Okay? We are spiritual, we're set apart, we are strangers in this world. And so don't be surprised if people think you're unusual because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are. Okay? And don't be weird just for weird's sake. Okay, we talked about that before. But because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that makes you unique, then more power to you. Okay? Then also, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should show proper respect to those in authority, and we should submit to their leadership. Even when we disagree with an authority figure, it should be done in a respectful and honorable way. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus himself, he was God in the flesh, but he willingly submitted himself to those in authorities, and it actually cost him his life. That's how willing he was to submit. And so we're to do the same thing. Now today we're talking about marriage matters. And that's why Naomi's joining me on the platform, because we're going to do this together today. That all right with you? I don't care, but it's kind of nice to know that you're with us, because we're doing it together. Marriage matters. Sam Levinson said, love at first sight is easy to understand. It's when two people have been looking at each other for years that it becomes a miracle. Marriage matters. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 and just give some biblical guidelines for husbands and wives. So if you would, please stand and I'll read the word here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. All right, you may be seated. Marriage matters, and we're going to start with the husbands. Husbands first. And it starts off with this phrase, in the same way. And so that's a reference back to Jesus Christ. Jesus is always our example and our standard. We cannot compare ourselves to anyone else. I mean, we can, but it's not really the best. You might be a better husband than your dad was, or you might be doing better than your friends, but that really doesn't matter. It's how do you measure up to the standard of Christ? He is our ultimate example. And then it says, husbands, be considerate of your wife. Men, our natural tendency is to think of ourselves, our needs, our desires, but God calls us higher to consider others first. And if you're married, your wife is at the top of your list of others, okay, to put her first. So don't be harsh towards your wife. And I'm not just talking about physicality, you know, being abusive. I'm talking about how you speak to her, okay? There's really no room for yelling or putting down or crudeness, okay? That's out of place. You're to be considerate of your wife. And don't lie to her. Now, most would say they don't lie to their wives, but how about being completely open and honest? And how about choosing your words very carefully? And this video makes a great illustration of that. Tim Hawkins, he's hilarious. It's your turn.
Now it's my turn. So a wise husband builds his wife's self-esteem. All right, can you hear me yet?
No. Is the map the
he
pack?
Told me the light is on. That's all I know.
Is it green?
I don't know.
Let's check and see. It's yellow. Now it's green.
You're on my hit list now. All right.
If you don't want to get killed with a knife.
All right. Now can you hear me? All right. So a wise husband builds his mate's self-esteem, realizing that the subtle words and actions of a sinful world. Oh, no.
Okay. Let's try this.
Maybe this isn't meant to be. I'm not supposed to be up there.
There.
Is
Try that.
All right.
Is that going to work?
All right. Repeat after me. A wise husband, you've heard this before, builds his mate's self-esteem, realizing that the subtle words and actions of a sinful world consistently, constantly.
Do you want to hold the mic?
Yes.
We practiced at home, but not with microphones.
All right. Am I on here? Not yet?
It's on up here.
It'll be coming. A wise husband. A wise
There
husband.
We go. Yay!
All right.
You're doing great, dear.
All right, so a wise husband builds his mate's self-esteem, realizing that the subtle words and actions of a sinful world constantly assault her sense of self-worth. A wise husband is sensitive to his wife's needs and is always ready to offer support. So you need to encourage your wife both verbally and in action. Words of praise are high-octane fuel that boost your wife's emotional fuel tanks.
Yeah.
That's man talk, I think.
Yeah, because we understand high-octane fuel. Okay. Then the scripture says, be sympathetic if you're a husband. And what that basically means is listen, listen, listen. And I think I'm hearing some women say amen. And let me tell you this. Usually women don't really want a solution. They just want to share their feelings and vent a bit. Usually.
So when I come home from work or something and I've got a problem, Phil just asks me, do you want a solution to that or not? And sometimes, no. I just want to talk. You can't fix it anyway.
Yep. Pretty true. Men, too often we are thinking of ourselves and we're not being sympathetic. We're not really listening. And the scripture says, as a husband, you should love your wife. And one of a woman's greatest needs is to be secure in her relationship with you. Okay. Let her know continually how much you cherish her. In Ephesians chapter 5, it actually says that we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Now, he's working in us to make us the best we can be. And so, as a husband, we should be working in our wife to help her be the best she can be. That's a picture of love.
But husbands, your wife is not your servant. Ruling over her is actually part of the curse. Yeah, she's your helper. We're going to talk about that later when it gets to the wife part. But part of your assignment is to bring out the best in her. Help her to become everything that God wants her to be.
Yep. That's part of the love factor. And as a matter of fact, the scripture says that Christ demonstrated his love for us by dying for us. So men, we love to indulge. Food and drink can become gluttony. Technology can become idolatry. Physical desire can become abusive lust. These things just all come very naturally. But instead, we are called to be self-sacrificing, putting our wives and children's needs above our own. And leading our families is not about bossing them around. It's about being the first to do the right thing. It's about doing what's best for them. It's about bringing out the best in them. So don't tear them down when they mess up. You know, there's a place for correction, but help them do even better. That's part of a husband's job in loving the wife.
So love is to have a high regard for someone else's value or of importance, to always want the best for the other person. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Yeah. So that's the description. Husbands, that's how you're supposed to treat your wife, with all of those descriptive words. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's love. Not lust, okay? Lust is actually a sinful distortion of a natural desire. You know, things like food, belongings, and even sex are all normal. But outside of God's guidelines, they become sinful. And these are very natural tendencies Men in particular tend to struggle with lust, okay? And we're not talking about that. We're talking about love. In fact, Drew Anderson puts it this way. He says, while my wife and I were shopping at a mall kiosk, a shapely young woman in a short, form-fitting dress strolled by. My eyes followed her. Without looking up from the item she was examining, my wife asked, was it worth the trouble you're in? You see, lust is about self-gratification, but love is about esteeming another above yourself. To be loving is to be concerned about her needs. It means to take care of her. It means to make sure she receives everything she needs to be healthy. And that's more than just providing money for necessities. It includes communicating your thoughts and letting her know how much you cherish her. That's love. The scripture also says here in Peter, don't repay evil for evil. Okay? Men, most of us, we have the broadest shoulders in our families. So let's use them for good. Okay? Broad shoulders oftentimes is a way of saying you can take stuff because you got broad shoulders. You can take it. Okay? So if at some point your wife says something that's hurtful to you, don't get even. Be a good leader instead. You know, you can bring those things up in a constructive conversation, but don't you dare pile on insults and treat her in any kind of evil manner. Don't repay evil for evil. That's just plain wrong.
There was a U.S. News and World Report in 1994 that reported about marriage researchers studying why some couples last and why some couples divorce. They studied couples for decades and discovered that the factors that really influence the durability of a marriage have nothing to do with how in love they are or how much affection they exchanged. The words move. What if they really boiled, what they really boiled down to is how they spoke to each other. Among those who endured, insults and put downs were minimal. Among those who broke up, the insults were much more often and increased over the years. The researchers concluded that hostile put-downs act as cancerous cells that, if unchecked, erode the relationship over time.
Yeah. I thought that was really insightful, that we think of, you know, how in love you are when you're first married, and then how much affection you share back and forth. And those things are all nice. But their study said that it really just comes down to the words you say towards each other. Are they kind or are they not kind? That has a great factor on whether you'll stay together or divorce. Impressive. So think about the words you're saying. Then the scripture says in verse 7, if you're a husband, you need to respect your wife. Okay, reality check. She doesn't think the same way you think. I know that's probably shocking. She doesn't think the same way you think. She doesn't respond to situations the same way you do. But that's okay. God designed it that way, so we need to respect those differences. We're not all exactly the same. And I'm glad for that. How about you? Okay. Then Peter also talks about the weaker partner, and some people struggle with that. What does that mean? Well, it has nothing to do with spirituality or character. Okay, it's simply a reference to the physical difference between most men and most women. Okay, that's all he's saying. So that leads us to this thought of don't be rough with her. Okay, be gentle. You can wrestle and slap around with your brothers and your friends, but you shouldn't be anything like that with your wife. Okay, hold her hand. Put your arm around her. Open doors. Things like that. Use your strength for her benefit.
Now, it's pretty obvious Phil didn't marry me for my muscles, since I have none. And I really don't like to roughhouse. That was just a no-no in our house growing up. And some women may enjoy kind of a playful little wrestling, but men, you need to know when to stop. And likewise, some couples really like to tease each other. And if you can keep it friendly, then that might be fun. If, however, your humor is at someone else's expense, that's too costly. Especially if that person is your spouse.
Yep, absolutely. And then Peter kind of wraps up the thought here for husbands, and he says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Okay? How many men would love for God to answer your prayers? Really? Just me and Larry? That's it? We're the only ones that want? Okay. We need to preach a whole different sermon. Okay. I'm thinking that most guys would like God to answer our prayers. When I pray for something, I want an answer. Okay? Well, Peter says, here's part of the condition right here is how you treat your wife so that nothing will hinder your prayers. And men, I want to say this. We should be leaders in praying in our homes. Okay? Set the example. Let them hear you pray. When troubles arise, you be the one to say, hey, we should stop and pray about this. And the scripture is really pretty clear here that God is very concerned about our relationships with our wives. Okay? If there's trouble at home, our prayers might be hindered. Now, that could be simply because if there's trouble at home, I'm not really praying very good. I'm distracted. But I think what it's really saying is God is interested in me taking care of my relationship with my wife as a priority. And if I do that, then my prayers are more likely to be answered by him. If I get that out of order, then God says, I might not answer your prayer. I think Peter's pretty plain about that. So, men, this is a big deal. How you treat your wife affects your spiritual life. It really does. And then it's been said, you may have heard this before, woman was taken out of man, not out of his head to be above him, nor out of his feet to be trampled underfoot, but out of his side to be equal to him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. That's a pretty good way to look at the relationship with your wife. Love her. Treat her with respect. Be considerate. Bring out the best in her. All those things. Men, that's how you should treat your wife.
All right, let's talk about the wife a little bit. In 1 Peter, it says, in the same way. So just like the husbands, Jesus is our example and standard. We can't compare ourselves to anyone else. Are you measuring up to the example of Christ? That's what really matters. Scripture says in a couple of places, be submissive. Okay? First of all, everyone obeys and submits to somebody. Even Jesus submitted to God and his will. In Ephesians 5, before it says, wives submit to your husbands, it says, submit to one another. I think everyone struggles with submission. It's against our human nature to give in to somebody else. But it says in Scripture to submit to your husband in everything. You think God really meant everything? Of course he did. The issue at stake is one of biblical principles. We are not free to pick and choose which biblical command we follow or violate. Neither are we free to disregard the instructions from one of God's ordained authorities, our husband. Submitting is more than just verbally agreeing. It's about coming alongside your husband with full support of his leadership. It's more than just scraping by and perhaps begrudgingly following, all the while complaining that you don't like his idea and waiting him to fail so I can say, I told you so. Can't be saying that. Yeah. Even in your heart, can't be saying that.
Yep, yep. Now, this idea of submission can really be a volatile issue. It can bring out the fight in some people. What? Submission? You know, apparently, according to Peter, Sarah actually called Abraham her master. She's never yet called me that. I'm still waiting for... She might be waiting a while, honey. Yeah, I've received some other titles from Naomi, though. But not that one. But we need to understand, submission is not about kowtowing to a harsh boss. Okay, that's not the picture. It's about showing respect for a leader. That's what it is. It's about keeping order within a family. Okay, that's the idea. So it's not the big bad boss and the doormat wife. That's not it at all. It's about unity in the family and respecting each other.
So Proverbs 31 talks about how to be a godly wife. And if you read through that, you understand that she is anything but a doormat. So it says she was engaged in many and varied activities and had many talents. She had her own life and her husband praised her, But here's another thought. Don't argue with your husband. I could just stop there. But I'm not saying that you can't give your opinion. Just don't argue. If your husband is adamant about something, then let the gentleness and quietness of your spirit totally surround your response. No preaching, no nagging, no retaliating. When you respond with when you respond gently and quietly, trust God to work in your husband and that situation.
Yep.
That might be a struggle. It's a struggle for people to not just want your way.
Yep. Right?
Work on that.
I want you to, it's a great thing for me to know that Naomi will always follow my lead. You know, we've been married now, this year will be 33 years, right? Something like that. A long time, okay? And so we've got a track record. We understand each other. And if I feel strongly about something, Naomi will always follow my lead. She'll let me lead, and I appreciate that. But I have no interest in her being timid and constantly unsure of herself. That doesn't interest me at all. In fact, I want her to be confident and self-assured, and I value her input. In fact, we don't make any significant decisions without discussion and coming to agreement, okay? And men, you need to understand on this submission thing that it is not our job to make our wife submit. The Bible never, ever says that, okay? She chooses to submit and let me lead out of her reverence for Christ and her respect for me. So men, we need to earn our wives' respect and make it easy for her to respect us and let us lead, okay? And be a good leader, but don't force submission on your wife. That's just inappropriate. That's wrong.
So women, notice if you're married, it says your assignment is to help your husband. God knows he needs all the help he can get. So it's your job to come alongside your man and help him achieve whatever God has called him today to be and do. That's not to say that you can't have your own life, but that God designed us to be in relationship, and his assignment for you is to help your husband.
Yeah, it was actually God who said it was not good for man to be alone. And we talk about this in marriage counseling, particularly pre-marriage counseling. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, God does all this creating, and after everything he creates, he said, it was good. It was very good, okay? In chapter 3 is when sin comes into the equation, okay? So we got chapter 1, everything's good. Chapter 3, everything is turning bad. Chapter 2, right in the middle, is where God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Okay? So even though God did all this creating, it was all great, God saw that we are made to be in relationship together. And so it's not good for us men to be alone. I think God knew what kind of trouble we'd get into without women in our life. Right, guys? Let's be honest. Okay? Alone time is not good time for most guys. Okay? We need each other. And I just want to be real clear about this. Any man who believes his wife is his servant, I believe has misread the scripture. Okay? She submits only out of reverence for Christ.
A lot of women think that this assignment to be their husband's helper is a negative thing. But I see it as a positive thing. First, since God designed it that way, it must be a good thing, right? That's the way he said it. Okay, secondly, I actually enjoy helping Phil and seeing him do well. Knowing that I helped him be a success actually makes me feel good. However, helping him is not all I do. In fact, there are things that I enjoy doing that have nothing to do with being Phil's helper at all. Like VBS, which is coming up. So you'll be hearing more about that.
And right. Then I'm her helper.
And she's my, that's right. That's right. And so, yeah, sometimes he helps me do stuff. And that's part of his excitement to cultivate care in me, is helping me. We wives, we are to help our husbands in any way we can. But guess who gets to determine if we're being a good helper? Our husbands do. They get to determine if we're being a good helper. We need to encourage and not hinder our husband's dreams.
All right. And the scripture says for the wife, it talks about purity. A wife is supposed to be pure. The idea is being unmixed. So keep your walk with the Lord absolutely pure, and keep your marriage relationship completely pure as well.
Nobody else should take more importance than your husband. That goes for girlfriends as well as guy friends.
Right. And so we've made it our practice to let the other be our guide when it comes to friendships, especially with the opposite sex. Okay? I take my cues from Naomi. If she is ever concerned about a friendship that I have with somebody else, I don't get defensive and try to protect that friendship. Instead, I try to adjust that friendship so that Naomi feels good about it. And we both take those cues from each other. And that has saved us a lot of troubles over the years.
The scripture also talks about reverence. Christian women should be known by their gentle demeanor. Yeah, you can be fun-loving and all that, but never be open to being called wild. Women, one of the ways we can best help our husband is to believe in him, encourage him, and cover his weaknesses. Phil said it before, that there's nothing that motivates a man like his own cheering section. You can do it.
Yep. And some jokingly comment about men. You get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. Well, it goes to man's greatest need. Men need to feel important. Like it or not, that's the way we're built. We want to feel important. And just as certain as most wives need to hear loving words from their husbands, husbands need to hear encouraging, respectful words from their wives. And this next video helps explain that a little bit. Thought that was pretty wise, that she took it kind of from the opposite angle, that the woman who's trying to pull your husband away, the way she does it is with a lot of admiration. So, wives, you need to show admiration to your husband. I know that may seem like, well, whatever, he's got such a weak ego, I got to build it up all the time. Yep. I just say, that's true, okay? You know, you get a package in the mail that's got something really delicate inside, and what does it say on it? Fragile, handle with care, okay? And I'm not afraid to say that men's egos are often like that. They're fragile. They need to be handled with care. And so don't mock it because it's fragile, okay? Instead, be very careful with it because you know it's fragile, and it needs uplifting and building. That's just the way men are built. And so you'll be benefited to know that that's the way it is and then respond appropriately. All right.
So then the scripture also talks about inner beauty. Today's society has outlandish expectations of how women and girls are supposed to look when it comes to physical beauty. And working at physical attractiveness is fine, but biblical, real beauty is on the inside. God calls a Christian woman to be gentle. You can be all that on the outside, but if you're not beautiful on the inside, it's just a waste of time. We're often very purposeful about what we wear, often buying a new outfit for special occasions and all that. And we should be at least that as intentional about having the fruit of the Spirit of us. We need to be gentle and kind.
Yeah. Now, I think it's entirely natural and normal to be physically attracted to your spouse, okay? And taking care of yourself is a good thing as well. But I could tell you this, physical attraction fades into oblivion when somebody's got a terrible personality that just rubs you the wrong way. You know, you might think they're good looking, but once they open their mouth, they're like, oh, I got nothing. I want nothing to do with that person. You understand? And so women, your beauty should be that gentleness and that kindness flowing out.
Scripture encourages us to have a quiet spirit, to not be argumentative, not boisterous, to keep the peace. These sometimes fly in the face of modern society. But notice that it says in the scripture, they are of great worth in God's sight. So what matters more?
Yeah, it's of great worth in God's sight. That's an important point to notice. Okay, and Naomi is a great peacekeeper. Always has been. Those of you who know her, you know that about her. And I want you to know, she never argues with me. Now, she occasionally disagrees, and sometimes she'll express concern about something, that some direction I might be going, but she never argues, never, just never. And I love it that we can have completely civil and calm conversations without things getting out of hand. I just love that.
But this quiet spirit doesn't mean that you should not speak your mind. However, we need to realize that nagging and criticizing will only discourage our men. What they really need is positive reinforcement. Even the slightest step in the right direction should be highly encouraged. And this is not just about the fragile ego that he already talked about. It does need constant bolstering. And though it may be true that men do tend to have fragile egos, they really deserve the respect as well. Think about what a man or a dad's responsibilities and obligations are. Biblically, he's the head of the home. He's the principal provider. He's the principal protector. He's charged with godly instruction and training. Typically, he's the final disciplinarian. Ultimately, he's God's representative to his kids. He deserves our respect.
And men, we should take that very seriously as well, knowing that most people get their picture of God, what God is like, is heavily influenced by their dads. What their dad was like is what they'll think God is like. And so, men, that we need to take that very seriously in how we behave.
So for earlier, Phil mentioned the imagery of a woman being taken out of the man's rib and what all that suggests in a marriage. Well, here's another one from God's perspective for wives. I chose the rib, which protects his heart and lungs and supports him, as you are meant to do. Around this one bone I shaped you, I modeled you. I created you perfectly and beautifully. Your characteristics are as the rib, strong yet delicate and fragile. You provide protection for the most delicate organ in man, his heart. His heart is the center of his being. His lungs hold the breath of life. The rib cage will allow itself to be broken before it will allow damage to the heart. We need to support the man as the rib cage supports the body. Sorry.
You're doing great. So today we've covered a lot of ground, and really we could cover a whole lot more, okay? We're just kind of scratching the surface and covering some basic thoughts. But I want to close with these simple thoughts. Yeah, there are biblical guidelines that are distinct for men and women in a marriage relationship. However, there are guidelines that apply to all of us as well. We are all supposed to be more like Jesus, right? And husbands and wives, if we follow that one simple rule, it'll make our marriages better, okay? A.W. Tozer put it this way. He says, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically tuned to each other? they are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. And so that brings us to this final illustration of the marriage triangle that puts Jesus at the top. And as you see, as the husband and wife each get closer to Jesus, they naturally get closer to each other. That's the way it's supposed to be. Each of us getting closer to Jesus, we get closer to each other. That's the calling. And so Scripture really doesn't mince any words about some topics, does it? It's pretty blunt about some things. And I know sometimes, especially in our modern American society, some of the biblical principles kind of fly in the face of what pop culture says. But what's going to be our standard? Is it going to be pop culture? Or is it going to be the Word of God? I'd like some feedback on that. The Word of God? Okay. So there you go. So let's be godly husbands, according to the Bible, and let's be godly wives, according to the Bible, not according to pop culture, but according to the Bible. Okay? And we're an example that has tried to follow the Word of God and has a very happy marriage 33 years later, almost. My parents, what are they at, 50-some years now? Yeah. And your parents, long time, following biblical guidelines for a marriage. It works. So follow the Word of God. Amen? All right. I want to close with a word of prayer. And then also I want to say that Naomi and I will be available here at the front if any of you would like prayer, particularly about your marriage, but anything at all would be okay as well. We'll just be here to pray with you. But would you please stand and we'll close with prayer.
Husbands, this is a great time to hold your wife's hand, by the way.
All right. God, we thank you for your word and how it speaks not only theologically to us, but practically into our lives. Here's some practical guidelines for marriage. Thank you, Lord. Now help us to follow your word and not be influenced by pop culture, but be totally influenced by your word and live according to your word, even in our marriages. Help us, all of us, Lord, to grow closer to you. That seems to be the fundamental factor in everything. If we just grow closer to you, everything else tends to fall into place. Help us, Lord, to do that. Give us grace, God. Some of these things may be challenging, so we ask for your grace to apply them in our lives. But help us to be the godly men and women, husbands and wives, that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week.